This is VOA News in Washington. I'm Jeff Custer. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken meets Tuesday with Jordanian officials and the U.N.'s humanitarian coordinator for Gaza amid a push to seal a ceasefire deal between Israel and Hamas and bring in more badly needed aid for the Gaza Strip. Blinken arrived in Jordan Tuesday for separate talks in Amman with Jordanian Foreign Minister Ayman Safadi and King Abdullah II before his meeting with UN Senior Humanitarian and Reconstruction Coordinator for Gaza, Sigrid Kaag. Blinken said Monday during a stop in Saudi Arabia he is hopeful Hamas will accept what he characterized as Israel's extraordinarily generous offer. Speaking at the White House Monday, Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre echoed those sentiments.
In recent days, there has been new progress in talks, and currently the onus is indeed on Hamas. There is a deal on the table, and they need to take it. We believe that all efforts need to be brought to bear to convince Hamas to accept the proposal immediately.
Columbia University Monday began suspending pro-Palestinian activists who refused to dismantle a tent encampment on its New York City campus after the Ivy League school's president, Manoush Shafiq, declared a stalemate in talks seeking to end the polarizing protest. Reuters correspondent Laila Sharak-Shahi reports.
The crackdown at Columbia comes amid a wave of Gaza-related protests across American universities. Columbia University spokesman Ben Chang said on Monday that, quote, "The encampment has created an unwelcoming environment for many of our Jewish students and faculty, and a noisy distraction that interferes with the teaching, learning, and preparing for final exams." Earlier, Shafiq said Columbia would not divest from finances in Israel, a key demand of the protesters. Instead, she offered to invest in health and education in Gaza and make Columbia's direct investment holdings more transparent.
That's Reuters correspondent Laila Sharak-Shahi reporting. This is VOA News. The governor of Ukraine's southern region of Odessa declared a day of mourning Tuesday following a Russian missile attack that killed four people and injured more than 20 others. Governor Ola Kuyper said the Russian attack hit one of the most popular parts of the city of Odessa, where locals and tourists go to walk and play sports. Kuyper said a fifth person died after suffering a stroke linked to the attack. Meanwhile, late Monday, Sophie, Duchess of Edinburgh, became the first British royal to visit Ukraine since Russia invaded the country more than 2 years ago. She was in Bucha, where she toured a so-called vehicle graveyard, where vehicles damaged in attacks have been stored, as well as a Bucha war memorial. Later, she spoke at St. Sophia Cathedral in Kyiv, saying it's important to come feel and know the human cost of war.
As you rightly say, I work on behalf of victims of conflict all around the world. I have traveled to many countries, either in conflict or post-conflict. But unfortunately, the scene is very similar wherever I go.
Climate specialists at the United Nations have warned this year's El Nino weather conditions are likely to be among the worst on record and are expected to affect 40 million people in 16 countries. The El Nino climate pattern is characterized by warm Pacific currents, which can affect weather throughout the world. At a news conference at UN headquarters in New York Monday, UN's climate crisis coordinator Rina Galani said the El Nino event this year is the strongest since 1950, when it was first recorded.
The temperature of the ocean is one of the highest that we've ever seen. Now, even if it's not the worst, I think the most important point here is it's affecting countries that are already in extreme vulnerability. So it's layered on top of the changes we're seeing on climate change.
Galani and other officials warned extreme weather generated by El Nino are creating both flood and drought conditions that are affecting commodity prices and exacerbating hunger situations in the world's most vulnerable regions. Haiti's seven-member transitional council will vote for the country's next president Tuesday, a week after it formally assumed power in the chaotic Caribbean nation. The vote is the next step in efforts to restore stability and order in Haiti, which has been plagued by gang violence since the 2021 assassination of President Jovenel Moïse. The U.S. Supreme Court has rejected an appeal from Elon Musk over a settlement with securities regulators that require him to get approval in advance of some social media posts related to Tesla, the electric vehicle company he owns. Details from VOA's Tommy McNeil.
The justices did not comment in leaving in place lower court rulings against Musk, who complained that the requirement amounts to prior restraint on his speech in violation of the First Amendment. The case stems from tweets Musk posted in 2018 in which he claimed he had secured funding to take Tesla private. The tweets caused the company's share price to jump and led to a temporary halt in trading. Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
In Washington, I'm Jeff Custer. This is VOA News.